In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen, back to your program, Treasures. And we are commenting on the Gospel of St. John, chapter 3. We started the dialogue between the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, and Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a famous ruler in the Jew community, and he came at night to ask questions, but he couldn't ask any question because he felt like, I'm a teacher, I'm not supposed to ask, I'm supposed always to answer. So he just started the dialogue telling the Lord that surely you came from God because no one can do all these miracles by himself. The Lord said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. As if he was answering a question in the heart of Nicodemus about the kingdom of God and how to catch this kingdom of God. And then the Lord established the doctrine of baptism. The new baptism of the New Testament is to be born again in water with the Holy Spirit. And that's the new birth of anyone to be a child of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? So Nicodemus took the word birth and focused on the regular meaning of birth, like any mother giving birth to a child. So his mind was very into the flesh ideas, into the regular thinking. He couldn't understand the sacramental birth given by the Lord. Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So our Lord Christ, you know, give it for another time that there is no other way, but you have to be born again from water and Spirit. That's the only way to enter the kingdom of heaven. Actually, he did not, you know, answer enough the idea of being born of flesh, but he commented on the necessity of this new birth, new creature, and the gift of the sacrament of baptism is to be the child of God. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You can consider the first truth given by the Lord when he said, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So he gave it like, you have to be born again. Then the second verse, the second truth, to be born again, it means like to be born of water and a Spirit. So we need to be born again, that's one point, and we need to be born again through water and a Spirit, that's the second major point. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So Christ here is explaining that the birth of the Spirit is far different than to be born of flesh. He's not mentioning the birth again of mother's womb, but the birth again to be born again of God, meaning that you have to have this sacrament of baptism and the power of being a new creature. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. So, in order to simplify the idea of being born again, he made it like the wind. The wind, you know, when it blows, you can never know from where it comes and where it goes, but you can see the influence of the wind. You can see trees moving, you can see the fresh air. So the influence you can see, but the sacrament itself you cannot see. That's exactly the meaning of any holy sacrament. There is a real change, a real transformation happening, but you cannot see what exactly happening because it's beyond seeing. It's a sacrament, but there is a real change. So the influence you can touch later on, that's this is a real change. And also mentioning the wind, because the spirits usually have the same word in their language at that time as the wind. So the Holy Spirit works like a wind, changing everything and can create things. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So exactly the Christian, any real Christian who was born again from heaven, from God, and he is going back to heaven, to God, that's his secret. But you cannot see the exact birth and the last minute of getting the kingdom of heaven, but you can see the influence, you can hear the sound. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? So Nicodemus now asking question. And that's not the usual custom of any ruler in the Jew congregation. They used to give answer. They never show that they need to know anything. But here he was, you know, pushed to answer the question, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? As if he's telling you, you are the teacher, but you have to admit that there are many things that you do not know. And the secret of heaven is totally God's secret. And you have to accept the revelation of God. You are not going to invent the truth. You have to accept the truth given by God of the truth. Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen. So Christ is telling him, I'm God. I know what I'm saying. I could see everything. I know the secret of heaven. I'm God of heaven and earth. So it's now your turn to accept what I say. Don't consider yourself as a teacher in my presence. Now you should be the student. I'm the only teacher, the good teacher. Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen. And you do not receive our witness, because he felt like Nicodemus is rejecting the truth. He was rejecting the idea of being, you know, born again. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? So what were the earthly things and the heavenly things? The earthly things is the sacrament on earth. People should be born again through water and spirit to be children of God. That's, you know, what's happening on earth. But what's happening in heaven, that their names are written now in the book of life in heaven. So that's the heavenly thing. So things are happening on earth, but the reflection is happening in heaven. And that's exactly the secret of sacrament, of the holy sacrament, that the child is being born again of water and spirit, but his name now is written in the book of life. He is now the child of God. He will take the Holy Spirit in his heart. He will be the altar of the Spirit. He will be a real saint. So all these heavenly things you cannot see, but you may see the earthly thing, the act of baptism, the immersion of the child into the water. That's the earthly thing. If you cannot receive the earthly thing, you can never accept the heavenly thing. No one had ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. Now Christ is revealing his own secret. He is the Son of Man, but he is also the Son of God. He came down from heaven. That's why he can tell us what's happening in heaven. He knows everything in heaven because he came down from heaven. He is the light of light. He is the real Son of God. And also because he is a man, now he's sitting with Nicodemus. And then he told him that I'm now in heaven. So his divine nature fills every place. So with the divine nature, he is in heaven and on earth. But with his human nature, he just sitting with Nicodemus. I don't think Nicodemus could understand the secret of Christ. But he was astonished because he believed that this man is the real teacher and God is with him and he is not a false prophet. So what he's saying is really the truth, even if I cannot understand it. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Strangely enough, he shifted the subject to Moses, because Nicodemus and all the rulers of the Jew people love Moses, and they always refer everything to Moses. He mentioned that Moses was telling the truth of the coming Messiah, the coming Savior, because Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Remember the story when the Jew people at Moses' time, they went astray, they refused the commandment of God, they tried to push Moses away and go back to Egypt. And one time the serpents start to beat them and kill them. So God told Moses, just lift up the serpent on the rod, and people, if they look with face to this cross, they should be saved. So as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So Christ is telling him how to enter the kingdom of God, and what is the relationship between the holy baptism and the cross. Because we can never have this new baptism of the New Testament, of the New Covenant, if we cannot, you know, see the crucifixion of God. Because of the power of his crucifixion and resurrection, now we can be born again, because we will die with Christ and rise up from the dead with him. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. It was like a symbol. People of Moses looked up to this symbol just to be saved. Now the truth came. The Son of Man will be lifted up. And through him and in him, we will be saved. And no way except this way. So we need to believe in him. God the Savior. God came to save us. And by believing in him, we will be baptized in his name, and then we will be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's very important truth given by the Lord in this sitting, when he mentioned that God the Father sent his Son in order to save human beings. And the only way to be saved of eternal condemnation, and in order to get away from this judgment, we have to stick to the Lord, to Christ himself, because we believe in him and should never perish. But anyone who refuses to believe in him will be condemned. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So Christ is telling him why he came. He came for the redemption. He came for the salvation of all people. And condemnation is upon all people, everywhere, and till the end of life, unless people stick to Christ, believed in him, and be baptized in his name to be children of God. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So the dialogue between the Lord and Nicodemus was very, very important, because in this dialogue, Christ revealed his divine nature, being the Son of God, being the Savior. He revealed the truth that he is the only way to heaven. He revealed also the secret of his coming. He was sent by God the Father to save human nature. And also he revealed the secret of redemption. He should be killed. He should die for human being and will rise up from death to be the source of life of all his people. And also he revealed the secret of the holy sacrament, the holy baptism, in order to be born again, to have a new life. All these were in the dialogue between the Lord and Nicodemus. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Again, he's focusing on the major truth that Christ is the only begotten Son of the Father, and he is the only way to heaven. So he's saying, who believes in him is not condemned. Nowadays, many people, and some of them even Christians, say that maybe there are many ways to heaven. Why should be Christian? Why should believing in Christ himself? Why shouldn't we go with morals, being good people, in order to catch eternal life? Okay, that's the idea of people, but the truth given by God himself is different. And we need to believe in the truth, in God incarnate, our Lord Jesus Christ, who came to save us. So he said that he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. So the condemnation, the judgment, is related to the belief in Christ. And consequently, what Christ had done. He died for us, we believe in this. He rose from dead, we believe in this. He gave us the holy baptism in order to be born again, we believe in this. So if you do not believe in Christ and his teaching, you will be condemned. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So people choose to go into dark side. They love their idea. They love their mind. They love their pride. They do not want to follow the crucified God. They love to follow, you know, the glory of human beings. So they chose the opposite way. Because their deeds were evil, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light. That's, you know, a major reason in order to explain why many people are rejecting the idea of one God, God incarnate, the crucifixion. Many people, they love to stay in sinful life, in darkness. But the teaching of Christ is pushing everyone to be in the light. So if they do not love the light of God, the purity of life, they will have enough reason to reject the whole story, to reject the truth. Not because the truth is illogic, but simply because they love dark side. They love to stay in darkness. Everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light. Lest his deeds should be exposed, the evil deeds will be exposed in the light side. But he who does the truth comes to the light. Now it's not only believing in the truth, but doing the truth. Because with the belief in the truth, you will live a good life, a holy life. You will follow the truth practically in your life, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Glory to God.